In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus says, "Beware false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." St. Paul says, "Fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert." And the Lord says by Jeremiah, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes, who prophesy lies and the deceit of their own heart." Not everyone who presents himself as a teacher of God's word is actually sent by him. This is the reason that no one is to publicly preach or teach or administer the sacraments among us without being rightly called. The long wait that our sister congregations in Wahpeton and in Lidgerwood and in Breckenridge have and are facing are good for them and for us. Because it would be easy to just find someone, anyone, to do the job. But how important it is that that someone be God's man, called in the church's usual way, ordained according to apostolic practice, and publicly received by you as one approved to be an overseer of God's flock in those places also. There are plenty of prophets running around. The question that we ask is, have they stood in God's counsel? Has God actually sent them? Do they speak His word faithfully? The Lord commands you, dear saints, not to listen to the words of those who run without being sent. What does this warning mean practically in our day? It means not to be deceived, to listen to anyone whom God has not given the office of the ministry, but who takes it up anyway. Do not immerse yourself in their writings, even if they are popular. Don't receive or support a missionary who is not rightly called and who is not spreading the mission that will actually help souls, that is true. And if I should no longer be here as your pastor, don't let anyone come in and talk you into hiring some half-pastor or licensing a layman to fill in instead. Because you are the Lord's flock. Only the Holy Spirit is allowed to make a man your overseer to care for you, whom God has obtained with His own blood. And only the Holy Spirit is allowed to remove that man when he is a false teacher. Even if a synod official should come in and insist to you that this is a good deal or that this is really what is best, do not listen. They ought to be striving to love you as the Lord loves you. And the Lord loves you enough to send you a preacher, a real servant of His word. He does not want to sell you a discount minister. He does not think that you are too small or too isolated or too unimportant to have a pastor. How many has He sent you in these many last years? Beware false prophets and do not listen to them. Some prophets run without being sent. But it isn't just a matter of credentials. Do not mishear me. This is not about 4 years of seminary training or about brand loyalty or about man-made human rules. The Lord commands, dear saints, not to listen to those who teach falsely, even if He is your pastor. By doing this, Jesus commands every Christian to judge doctrine. Doctrine is a big word, but really it just means teaching. It's related to doctor. Somebody who has a doctorate is able to teach in college, right? You have the right and the duty to judge doctrine. You are not, in fact, allowed to leave matters of doctrine and teaching up to the pastors. But you must listen with a discerning ear. You must not go to a church, this one or any other, and say amen simply because the script tells you to do it. You must use your amen carefully and deliberately. Because whatever you attach your amen to is what you are attaching your faith to. You are making a confession. You're saying, this is the truth, and I'm following it. And if that goes for a little word like amen, then it most certainly goes for joining a church or for being united to that congregation by communing with them at the Lord's Supper when it is offered. In truth, these are the same thing. They always have been from the beginning of the church. To commune is to join together with that congregation in what it believes and teaches and confesses. Which means if that church teaches falsely, if that pastor is a false prophet, the Lord in all three of today's texts doesn't say, well, overlook it. He doesn't say, bear with it. He says, beware, flee, don't listen. And this, in fact, is a very loving thing to do. Some of you were with me yesterday hearing 1 Corinthians 13 at a wedding. In a church, mind you, that entirely denies this privilege and duty of Christians to judge a preacher's doctrine. Only the Pope can do that. But do you remember from that text what it said love is and what it does? It does not delight in evil, but love rejoices with the truth. Confessing and saying amen to pure doctrine and refraining from false doctrine and not joining with those who teach it is very loving. That is rejoicing in the truth and not delighting in evil. As the Lord himself says, go ahead, let the prophets who have a dream tell their dream. But let he who has my word, that is he who has the true doctrine, speak my word faithfully. Because what has straw in common with wheat? What has the stuff that we send off to the board plant with the stuff that you put in your bins and carefully take into the elevator? What does truth have to do with falsehood? God's teaching, the divine doctrine, is every Christian's business. When our Lord says, beware and do not listen to false prophets, he gives every Christian, each Christian, command to judge doctrine. And he says, you will know them by their fruits. The fruit of a prophet is his prophecy. It is their preaching and their teaching. Is it true? If it is, then say amen. This is most certainly true. Whenever you say amen, you are confessing before God and before your neighbors in this world that you treasure, that you agree with, you love, you support whatever it is that you are saying amen to. Actually, amen is also a judgmental word. Sorry if that's not very popular today, but you are judging whenever you use it. You are making a statement, you are thinking, and you are standing for something. You are also judging when you don't use it. You're saying, this is God's divine doctrine. Amen. This is true. Or you are saying, no, this is not God's truth. And I and every other person, if they are a Christian, ought to renounce and run from it. So amen is never a neutral word. How then do you judge? By what standard? Well, there is the real difficulty. Why are there so many false prophets in our day? And why and how are they able to draw disciples, even Christians, away after them? Well, Jeremiah could just have easily been writing this word of God for our age, as it was in the age of the prophets of Baal and when Assyria was attacking. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, "It shall be well with you." And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, "No disaster shall come upon you." And this is the false teaching du jour of our day. To follow your heart, it will never lead you wrong. The scriptures deny this everywhere. You cannot judge by your own heart. Rather, this question that Jeremiah asks is just as much for us, dear Christians, as it was a rebuke for those false prophets too. He asks, who among them, who among us, has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? False prophets are wolves in sheep's clothing. There is an appeal to them. They look very soft and fuzzy. They don't come out and say, "I'm going to preach false to you today." But the Lord calls Christians sheep because we are easily deceived and vulnerable to the attack. And yet even sheep, says our Lord, discern their shepherd's voice from all of the voices of the hirelings that sneak in. So thus he says to you, beware, and he gives us his word. His word to learn and to digest and to use. If they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. The counsel of the Lord is given to us by his true prophets and apostles in the Holy Scriptures. If you like it, they are like the minutes from the council meeting. And the prophets and the apostles are the ones who were there. All true preaching accords and comes from this, from the Holy Scriptures. Certainly not from visions of our own imagination, even if the guy is a pastor. All true judging of pastors also accords and comes from this, from the Holy Scriptures. Because it isn't chaff. It isn't straw for the board plant. It is wheat. It is wholesome. It isn't empty or dim either. But Jeremiah says it is like fire. It is clear and it is bright. It reveals the truth. And it cleanses away the falsehood. It is like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces, says the Lord. Even our stony hard hearts, whether you happen to be a preacher or not. Now, the anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. Not the intentions of a preacher's or of a self-proclaimed prophet's or of yours. The Lord says, it's my heart that matters. But what we see amid all these words of wrath is that the Lord's anger is not directed at the flock. It is directed at your enemies. The enemies of the truth that are trying to separate you from him. In the latter days you will understand it clearly, he says. Those latter days have come. Now, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. The Lord has himself come to have compassion on his people, to feed them as a true shepherd and overseer of the flock. And more, because he has laid down his life for his sheep, for you. His heart is one of deep, passionate love that rejoices in the truth. And his intention is to let forgiveness and mercy be the final word. Here again, what St. Paul says to those pastors in Ephesus as he leaves them from Acts 20. But listen to where you fit in. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. You are the flock, you are the church of God. And the Lord wants you cared for. And he has obtained you. The word is, he has purchased you with his blood. God's blood, just as plain as it sounds in that text. That is the heart of the doctrine that we preach. That is the Lord's heart and counsel. That is the word that he wants faithfully spoken. That your wickedness, heart deep as it may be, has been forgiven. The wrath has burst upon his head in your place. The Son accomplished everything that you have despised, and he has been executed instead to purchase you with his own blood. It is his will that your ears be filled with nothing but the truth. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, the church of God, obtained with his own blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.